Blog Talk Radio.
I'm running away from this pain. I'm trying to find a new way where the sun's shining down on my face. I'm running away. You're in a toxic relationship. Turn to me.
You be and welcome to the first edition here in 2017 of Dating Today, and this is Fernando Uribe here, and you there listening on Blog Talk Radio. This the 2nd of January, once again, the year 2017. Happy New Year, everyone! I hope you had a wonderful New Year's, happy and healthy one with friends and family, and certainly we thank you for tuning in tonight again. The consecutive streak still continues here on Blog Talk Radio. Your favorite 30-plus minutes of commercial-free dating advice available anywhere online is always here every week with yours truly here on Dating Today. And this week's edition, as always, is brought to you by the Mason Civic League. You can check out their website directly by going to www.masoncivic.org. Now, the Mason Civic League is located at 1200 Washington Street in the Uptown section of Hoboken, New Jersey. You can call their office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. by dialing 201-706-8088. Once again, 201-706-8088 to contact the Mason Civic League. Now, for those of you that are not aware, the Mason Civic League was established in 2010 by former Hoboken Councilwoman, the esteemed Beth Mason. And its mission has been to assist community members and groups in need. The Mason Civic League has sponsored programs and events to promote the arts, continuing education, and activities for residents of all ages. Make sure you check them out again on their website, www.masoncivic.org. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and also follow them on Instagram. I also want to give some acknowledgments here, folks, on the program to Son Cubano. You can check out their website by going to www.soncubanonj.com. Now, Son Cubano is located at 40-4 Riverwalk Place along the waterfront in West New York, New Jersey. You can dial their reservation hotline 7 days a week, 201-399-2020. Now again, Son Cubano is one of New Jersey's premier award-winning restaurants, bringing you amazing Cuban cuisine with that beautiful skyline of New York City to enjoy. And I'll tell you, for whether it's lunch, dinner, or any special occasion, folks, make Son Cubano for you. Again, make sure you like them on Facebook and, of course, follow them on Instagram and Twitter. I also want to acknowledge here on the program, ladies and gentlemen, also cromcakes.com, a wonderful website hosted by one of my good friends, Miss Ashley Cromcakes. You can check it out, www.cromcakes.com. That's K as in knife, R-O-M-C-A-K-E-S.com. A wonderful media site. Definitely check it out. You'll be glad you did. And also last, I want to acknowledge Rough Rehab, a wonderful no-kill Northern New Jersey-based animal rescue shelter located at 360 Route 46 in Mountain Lakes, New Jersey. Now, again, you can check out their website, www.ruffrehab.org. That's RuffRehab.org. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and also follow them on Instagram. Again, I want to thank Rough Rehab, Cromcakes.com, Son Cubano again for their support of the program, and, of course, the Mason Civic League for bringing you this week's edition of Dating Today. Folks, the toll-free hotline to call in tonight in Opie, I'm more than willing to listen to anything you have to say tonight on the topics or any topics involving today's dating climate. You can do so at 646-649-1926, 646-649-1926. You can also write to the show's inbox, which is professorfuj@gmail.com, and also can reach out to me on Twitter at TheGloriousFUJ, as well as looking me up on Instagram. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at @your_favorite_Fernando. And again, folks, we appreciate all the support that the podcast continues to receive each and every week here. And going into 2017, it will be no different than previous years, as I appreciate the feedback. Great, you know, response on social media. Certainly the messages I receive from listeners, whether they're live or listening to the archives the following day, it's been really, really flattering, and I'm grateful for the support that I continue getting here on the podcast. So again, thanks to all my listeners, whether it's my students, past and present, and again, I can't say enough about really the support that you guys show me here on the again, on the website, on social media in general, and just whether you see me in person. Again, I can't say enough about how, you know, thankful I am for the warmth that you continue to give here on the program. So, folks, again, Happy New Year. Hope you had a wonderful New Year's. Again, it's early January, and whether you're, you know, back to TV, regular TV watching. Earlier tonight, I was getting some grief about watching The Bachelor, which, I love watching The Bachelor. I think it's funny. As a guy, obviously, there's a plethora of good-looking women that are on the program, so certainly it's nice eye candy. But if for anything else, it's entertaining, you know, and I certainly, you know, doesn't take away from the other sort of, you know, illuminating and informative type of programming that I engage in, or I sort of immerse myself in, whether it's watching the news or reading or anything like that. So, again, I can't say enough really about TV viewing going back to normal here. And so, again, I appreciate you guys taking time out tonight to listen. And certainly, I hope you had a wonderful New Year's. A lot of big things come up in 2017 here for yours truly. Some big projects materializing, and certainly they will be, I hope, materializing as we speak. So it'll be some good things to come, hopefully, God willing. And again, you know, for all of the support I get on here with the podcast, my philanthropy in general, 2016 was a great year. So I thank each and every person that was responsible with it, whether it's my family, my significant other, all my friends who attend, the immense amount of sponsors that I get year in and year out that support my charity events. You know, I can't say enough. I think I need a 3-hour podcast just to thank all of them. So, you know who you are. I message you frequently. I send you thank you cards. And, you know, again, I can't tell you really how grateful I am for all the support here. And again, folks, you know, 2017 is a new year. I don't want to, you know, sort of use that tired old line, you know, new year, new me. You know, it's a new year, and it's a chance to do some good things. Certainly for those of you that were single during the holiday season, again, the new year starts, whether you're hitting the gym, looking to get back into shape, whether you're maybe you took a hiatus from dating during the holiday season or sort of leading up to the holiday season, which a lot of people do. Sometimes it becomes a a problematic sort of thing for some men and women here in the area. And again, listen, dating can be tough no matter where you live in this great country of ours. You know, I have plenty of friends here who are single in the New York, New Jersey area who like listening to the show, and they find the podcast informative and entertaining. But, you know, I got tons of friends down south. I got my buddy Antonio who listens in every week down in Miami. I know when he's on the road meeting clients and he's got some time to kill while driving, and he has his phone on, whether he's listening to satellite radio or listening to regular terrestrial radio down in South Florida. Hey, you know, I'm flattered that he tells me he listens to the podcast, and he likes it. He certainly can understand how it's been helpful for many people. You know, all the way out to friends in Chicago, all the way down to in Dallas, Texas, the home of my Dallas Cowboys. You know, first place and number one seed in the NFC. Hopefully, you know, the road to the Super Bowl begins in a couple of weeks during the divisional round. So let's get it going. But again, more importantly, I got tons of friends in Dallas, Texas who enjoy the podcast. And, you know, they definitely let me know about it. So I'm grateful to them. And listen, friends all the way out to in L.A., you know, the City of Angels, all the way even up a little bit in Northern California in Bakersfield, you know. So it's great to, you know, just have a following nationwide. You know, I may not be Rush Limbaugh or Laura Ingram or Sam Cedar or a bunch of other, you know, ongoing, you know, radio acts in the business. But certainly, you know, the fact of just the podcast continuing to get good numbers and again, you know, the sponsorship has been solid, and I'm grateful again to the Mason Civic League for believing in my project. And subsequently, as the book is near completion, we'll be able to, you know, get that done. So, yeah, a lot of good things in 2017. So, you know, we're trying to make sure we get everything started on the right foot. And for those of you listening tonight, folks, you know, really when we think about, you know, those of us that, let's say, made somebody recently, somebody that maybe, you know, we've sort of been in a, you know, spending some time with, and, you know, we sort of hit that crossroads in our mind, whether or not it's a real relationship or it's just a sort of a hookup, you know. It was funny because, you know, people, you know, in today's dating scene, you know, hearing stories from friends of mine or acquaintances about, you know, hooking up, you know, sometimes, you know, whether it's hooking up with people they meet in bars or on dating apps, it's, you know, it's something that has become sort of very commonplace. But it tends to be sort of a very casual experience. And I think that what I think here in the United States, you know, some data I've seen, some studies and some other articles I've read, you know, we can make the case that, you know, not just now, but we've been living in a hookup generation for quite some time. And normally we sort of attribute generations, let's say, based on sort of a quantitative type of measurement. And we say, well, a generation's like 20 years or something like that, you know? But listen, I would argue that, you know, the hookup generation has been going on for more than 20 years. You know, I can remember going back into like, you know, back into the 90s, you know, going back into my college days and even, you know, after college, you know, working in the real world and in grad school. And I, you know, I had friends even before that. You know, hooking up has really become sort of a pastime when it comes to, you know, our dating climate here in the United States and really here in New York, in the New York, New Jersey area. And I can tell you that during the time periods that I was single in my lifetime, and especially living here in this area where, you know, I'm a short 5-10 minute drive outside of New York City, and I can go into Manhattan and there's a multitude of different bars and clubs and lounges and even dives that you can go and meet someone. And sometimes to be very honest, it hasn't been difficult. And I think for a lot of us that have experienced that in our lifetime, when it comes to the sort of the hookup generation, it's not something I think that's just going to be temporary. I think that we're sort of living in this sort of hookup climate. And I don't think it's just sort of exclusive to sort of an era or a generation. I think that this is something that will continue. I mean, it's been going on for, I mean, let's be honest, for as long as people have been having casual sex. And this is not just something from the 90s. And we're talking about going back into the 80s, 70s, even before. And, you know, I think that while some people don't like to sort of engage in the behavior, some people like to sort of, you know, not be promiscuous or not engage in that sort of behavior. And I think that what ends up happening is, you know, we get sort of sucked into that. And I can tell you that, you know, I know for a fact in my lifetime that, you know, there have been some time periods where I think that I had to sort of slow down. I found myself trying to, you know, hook up with too many people, and ended up sort of being like a lot more laborious and problematic than it should be and that it needs to be. I remember I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and we were sort of casually chatting about, you know, what direction her life should go in the new year in terms of her dating prospects. And I told her, I was like, well, listen, you know, you were in not a toxic relationship, but you were in a relationship that wasn't productive for you. And when she told me how she felt, I said, well, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, maybe just approach the new year and, you know, sort of, you know, throw caution to the wind and just, you know, not, I mean, don't be dangerous and be self-destructive or careless or, you know, do something to endanger yourself. But just, I think, be more casual. And what came out of the conversation was sort of like, you know, reminiscing, and she, or, you know, her saying to me, oh my God, well, you know, let me just do a Fernando back from like 2000, you know, 2004 or something, you know? And it was funny because we had to sort of laugh about it, because that was sort of a time frame where, I was starting grad school, and I was starting a new program, and you know, it wasn't hard to meet people. It wasn't hard to meet people in my program. It wasn't hard to meet someone and hook up with them, you know, outside of class. And, you know, if we went to the library or if we were meeting at the local watering hole after midterms or finals, or just being out in general, it wasn't difficult. And I think I remember going to sort of not a bad phase, but just a phase where I just didn't care. And I was, you know, sort of just hooking up with different women. You know, there was a point where it was just becoming sort of like, I don't know, not assembly line. I mean, I don't want to give myself that much credit, but I mean, I know that the frequency was high. And I remember, you know, sort of getting that as I was sort of the punchline with my core group of friends. And she was one of them. She still is. I mean, obviously, but back then, you know, we were in grad school together. And I remember just, you know, doing that. And, you know, she sort of said, well, I don't know if I could ever be Fernando from back then. But, you know, maybe I'm playing this too conservatively, and maybe I'm just being too guarded, and maybe put myself out there, maybe guys, let me see what happens. And, you know, the thing is, folks, you know, when we think about, you know, sort of the hookup mentality that has become so pervasive in this country, you know, we sort of look at it from the perspective of, you know, that it's, you know, we sort of rationalize it as being okay. We find a within ourselves to just to be, you know, I guess accepting of it. And, you know, we sometimes sit down, and when asked about it, we tend to laugh and just sort of play it off. And, you know, we tend to have that nervous laugh because while we may not be doing anything illegal or inappropriate or improper, you know, it's something that maybe, you know, we try to, you know, find acceptable. And sometimes, you know, and, you know, the reality is that for me, you know, I was one of these type of, you know, individuals that approached, you know, dating that way for some time. You know, during my single days when I was just being very casual, I was very casual. You know, and I found a way to sort of compartmentalize my thoughts and my emotions when it came to women. And I think that, you know, more times than not, and I've talked about this on the show before, and I've been very sort of open and honest about it. I think that for a guy, you know, when you go out there and you're meeting women in different sort of venues, whether you're doing it sort of like the old fashioned way, you know, via nightlife, you know, going to a bar, going to a club, you know, maybe a networking event, maybe you're going food shopping, maybe you're going to the gym, even though I don't really recommend meeting people at the gym. I don't think people go to the gym to really meet or hook up or anymore. I think people that go to the gym now are really dedicated to the gym. So I don't think that that's something that really is as successful as it used to be. But the reality is that, you know, when we're capable of meeting people, you know, sometimes it can become sort of like an oversaturation. And, you know, for a guy that, let's say, you know, and I'll be the first one to tell you, I mean, you know, despite how vain or, you know, smug I can be, and my friends have told me so, you know, what they've also been very clear in telling me is that, you know, I've never lacked confidence. I've never been apprehensive about going somewhere and networking and mingling and schmoozing and finding a way to sort of, you know, be charming. And that's, you know, that's a skill I think that, you know, is important to have for a lot of different reasons, not just because of dating. I mean, it's important to be a charmer and to have good social skills, especially in the workplace. And if you're networking and if you're trying to, you know, get business and you're trying to, you know, negotiate things with people. I mean, that's a great skill set to have. But as it pertains to the show here, as it pertains to dating, I think that we sort of approach it in the same way when it comes to sort of just, you know, hooking up. And I remember that, you know, there were times when, you know, I think in my lifetime, I think a lot of guys, you know, women listening today, I think whenever we've gone through phases of just saying, you know what, I don't care, as long as I'm being safe, as long as I'm endangering myself, as long as I'm not, you know, implicating anybody in anything, you know, maybe potentially, I wouldn't say dangerous, but, you know, the fear, listen, as a guy, the fear of going out and meeting a woman and, you know, and yeah, you know, you get to take her home and that's all, you know, sort of there's always that fear in the back of your mind, making, you know, making sure that you use protection, that you are not making yourself, you know, vulnerable to, you know, a sexually transmitted disease, that you're not impregnating someone. You know, these are all concerns I think that we guys have, and same, you know, same goes for women. I think when women go out and you know, are just being casual too in the dating scene, I think that they also think about these things. Now, listen, women have more to lose than men, because once a woman gets pregnant, I mean, obviously physiologically, they're the ones that that sort of undergo much more of a transformation, not just physically, but everything emotionally and chemically, and their life changes completely because of the pregnancy. Meanwhile, you know, as a guy, you know, you're complicit in the act itself, but you're only 50% of the participation. But the point is that, you know, it's when we as adults have had a casual mentality, we just sort of, you know, dismiss it as, well, are we thinking about the other person? You know, how are we, you know? And again, listen, if you're in a committed exclusive relationship, that's one thing. And that's not really what tonight's topic is about. You know, I think what I'm trying to help this evening in doing is trying to, you know, give clarity to those of you listening tonight, you know, and like I said, it really boils down to like what you should be looking for, real relationship. And you know what? If you're not moving in the direction of a real relationship, and let's just say it's a hookup, well, then I think that there are just certain keys that you have to sort of keep track of. And I think that both men and women, and I think this is more probably more, you know, for the ladies here, because ladies, in many instances, tend to be more emotional of the two species. And sometimes once you have sex with a woman, things can change automatically. So it may not always happen. I think when you're young, it doesn't really happen. I think, but as you get older, you know, being casual may not always work out. You know, sometimes, you know, people will catch feelings right away and be emotional and things of that nature. But really tonight, again, what I want to help my audience through is to really steer you through sort of the foggy road that maybe you're on right now. You know, let's say you've been dating someone for, I don't know, maybe a couple months. Maybe 2-3 months, you know, and, you know, again, if you've only been hooking up with this person, you know, there might be that sort of limbo that you're not sure where you stand with him or her. Now, again, if you're just being casual and you just have, let's say, a certain amount of booty calls on your phone and you know who to call, when and where, then that's different. You know, I don't think that your mindset is predicated on looking at this person as, okay, I'm dating this person, I'm in a relationship with this person, you know, I wouldn't want, you know, this person sleeping with someone else. And, you know, it's sort of a funny thing, you know, I think as men, because we're so territorial, I think we're very ego-driven, you know, we sort of tend to take for granted that because of the hookup generation that we're living in, that many women have developed sort of the same mindset that men have. And, you know, the idea that only men are the ones that can be promiscuous, and only men are the ones that can juggle, you know, people and, you know, sort of, you know, date multiple women at the same time. The reality is that it's a behavior that's become synonymous with many women also. I know of women that have been more than capable of dating multiple men at the same time, you know, keeping it very casual, nothing serious for the most part. And just, you know, making sure that you know, that they have entertainment, that they're going out, that they're getting their meals paid for, that they're going out for dinner, they're having drinks somewhere, you know, whatever. And the reality is that, you know, women, many women in today's dating scene have become, I think, just as effective of, you know, hookup specialists as men have become. You know, as a guy, listen, I'll be the first one to tell you, I think in many periods of my life, when I've gone through phases of just being sort of a serial dater and just being like, all right, well, I know who to call and I know I can hook up with this person or that person. I can just, you know, dial her number and be like, hey, what's up? What are you doing later? Let me pick you up. Let's go grab a drink. And then I know that I know for a fact that she's coming back to my place. You know, I think in the back of my mind, I never want to sort of rationalize, or I never want to sort of concede the point that she might be doing the same thing. And, you know, as guys, you know, we're so dependent on our egos. You know, we become very, you know, I think to some extent, I think crippled by our egos, because, you know, our egos sometimes tends to, you know, govern our thought process. It tends to govern, like, how we go about approaching women, how we go about treating women. And the reality is that, you know, for as much as the behavior has become so synonymous with men for decades, if not centuries, women, I think many women in today's dating scene for some time now have also become quite comfortable with it. And, you know, for a lot of guys, that's something that's very difficult to hear. You know, if you're hooking up with a woman, the last thing you want to think about, really, when you leave her house is like, all right, well, she's happy or content with what I'm giving her, you know, and I'm cool. Like, I don't have to worry about her, you know, meeting up with some other guy tomorrow or the next day or the day after that because, I don't know, she's just being casual. Like, as guys, we never think about that. And I think women maybe sort of just rationalize it in their minds, many of them, that just say, well, you know, guys can be guys, and, well, if he's doing this with me, maybe he's hooking up with other women. And some women find a way to sort of, you know, be at peace with it, and they don't, you know, they don't get volatile, they don't sort of get hysterical about it. They just, you know, sort of, you know, attribute it to, all right, well, guys are guys, and, you know, that's just sort of, you know, what he's doing. You know, I know that when I'm going to be with him, I got to be safe, you know, because I don't know what he's doing. And, you know, I'm in no position to ask him. I'm not his girlfriend, you know, who am I to sort of pry into his private life? And I think vice versa. I think sometimes guys are the same way too. I don't think guys want to know about what women are doing. And I think that sometimes, you know, it blurs the line of, you know, well, are you approaching something that's a relationship, or is this just going to be sort of an ongoing hookup for some time? And I think that, you know, some factors I want to talk with you tonight about, I think will give you a perspective about where you stand. And again, if you've been, this is predicated on, you know, if you've been seeing someone, let's say for a few months, you know, if this has been going on for a couple of years, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I think you should kind of know after about a year if you're seeing someone exclusively or not. I don't, you know, this isn't like, you know, Carrie Bradshaw and you know, John James Preston, you know, from Sex and the City, you know, which, by the way, I'm very excited about, you know, part three being, you know, given the green light, and now it's going to be filmed now in the spring. So we'll see when it premieres in theaters, maybe at the end of the year or early 2018, who knows. But the point is that, you know, at some point, you know, early on, you have to sort of have an idea of where you stand with the person, you know. And, you know, the first thing really that, you know, you want to look at is, number one, is their respect. You know, and listen, respect's crucial in a relationship, whether it's with your friends or a significant other, you know, and I think it's based on the fact about respecting your partner's feelings, you know, to, you know, respecting something like whether or not they, you know, they clean the pee off of their toilet seat, you know, off of your toilet seat when they're at your house or something, you know, I think and respect sometimes is difficult, you know, it's, you can have two people that, let's say, are very hard-headed or very, very strong personalities. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you have to try to balance, you know. I think respecting each other is important, you know, trying to be there for each other, you know. And listen, I think when you're dating someone, you can make mistakes. You can have oversight. You can just do things in haste. You can make bad choices, have really bad judgment in some things. But, you know, if your overall intent is good and you are deep down a good person and you don't mean malice, then it's important to sort of, you know, keep that in mind when it comes to, you know, sort of dissecting your partner and whether or not, you know, where they're coming from. But, you know, respect is important, you know, it is. And, you know, another variable here tonight I think is important to sort of, you know, help you sort of, you know, again, keep you on the right track. And what you want to be looking at is, you know, sort of the importance of encouragement and support, you know. I think at the end of the day, you know, you have to be each other's biggest fan at all times and through everything. And I think that, you know, one of the things that has probably left a bad taste in my mouth, I think, in relationships over the years, has been the fact of not always having that sort of supportive partner, you know. I remember many, many, many years ago, having been married, and only for a short time, I remember my ex-wife not being the most supportive of people, you know. And I think that part of the reason that And some people might say it's a fixation. Some people might say it's a hobby. Some people might say it's a healthy pastime, whatever you want to call it. But I think the insistence that I have on my philanthropy and about doing good for my community and for others less fortunate than me, I think has been, you know, really back to the fact that, you know, I think I'm early on in my early 20s dating her and then, graduating college and then, you know, being married and then, you know, trying to get through grad school. And, you know, I never got a sense that she was very supportive. You know, I found her to be someone who was very selfish, someone who was very, sort of self-consumed. And that's sort of funny coming from someone like me, because I know I can be very self-consumed and I can be very selfish. But I think that at the end of the day, you know, when I needed to be selfless and to be a fan and to be supportive, I was. And I think I've always been that type of partner with any woman I've dated. I think I've always made it a point to be encouraging, to be supportive. I know that over the years, you know, I've dated different types of women, different types of age groups, women that have been in different sort of stages of their lives, women that have been in law school, women that have been in grad school like me, women that have still been finishing undergrad, women that have been, going through different other programs for professional development and career advancement, whatever. I've always been sort of the supportive type, and that's something I've taken pride in. And I think I've always deep down wanted that for myself too, with partners. I may not always gotten it, but moving forward, I know that, you know, in any relationship, you need that. You really do. The thing really is, and one that is inevitable, is arguments. And listen, let's be very honest right now, folks. They're going to happen. They may happen often, and they may happen maybe not as frequently as we think they do. And, you know, no matter what your argument's about, I mean, the purpose of an argument really is, I think it's simply just for a way to, you know, for the two of you as a couple to understand your relationship and to understand each other a little more deeply, and then just to sort of get a better sense of who the other person is. I know when I've, you know, had arguments with partners over the years, some of them got a little more heated than others. I'd like to think that in my lifetime as a guy, that I try to be just a guy that minds my own business, that just tries to keep my head above water. And I'd like to think that I don't go out of my way to be a pain or a nuisance or an annoyance. I know I can be, you know, I'm a very strong-minded person. I'm very opinionated. I'm very outspoken. I'm very vocal. I think those are all sort of, you know, while some people might attribute them to be great, you know, great attributes as a person, I think they can also be great character flaws too. So, you know, I'll concede that point as well. But I'd like to think that, you know, I try to go out of my way to avoid an argument. I try to go out of my way to just not deal with hostility like that, you know, to sort of avoid it. And sometimes, you know, it's unavoidable. I think sometimes, you know, two people can be very different. Two people can be very sort of strong-minded, and just those things happen, unfortunately. You know, and sometimes, you know, good things and bad things can happen during arguments. They can come out of them, you know, in terms of getting clarity. You know, at the end of the day, you know, if you love and respect your partner enough, sometimes, you know, hopefully your arguments can help you move forward as a couple and not sort of keep you stagnant. You know, I've had relationships with arguments sometimes and, you know, built up for a while, and then I think we sort of address it, and then it sort of lies dormant until it becomes relevant again. And, you know, that can be draining. I think it can be, it could wear you out as a person. When you love someone, obviously, you know, you're trying to work things out. You're trying to reach a common goal or a middle ground. And, you know, sometimes, you know, arguments, you know, put that under the microscope, it can help magnify it and show you exactly what, you know, where you should be, but it doesn't always work out that way, you know. But again, it's important to sort of, you know, air out your feelings and just talk things out, and sometimes talk them out as long as it takes, you know. Which sort of brings me to my next point. And sometimes, you know, it's the little things that matter in a relationship, you know. you know, it's sort of like the little ways that you show each other that you love each other. In fact, you know, sometimes love is really just about the little things. You know, it's sort of just, you know, putting forth, you know, an effort without feeling like it's an effort. And I don't know if that makes sense to anybody listening tonight, but sometimes, you know, I think it's, you know, it can be something as simple like holding hands or kisses on the cheek or going to get coffee or just trying to be thoughtful in some way. You know, I'd like to, listen, I'll be the first one to say that I am far from perfect. I would never call myself perfect. I would never call myself the perfect partner or the perfect mate. But I like to think that, you know, when the chips are down and you know, when I've had to sort of show my cards and express whether or not I do little things, I like to believe that I do. You know, I like to believe that, you know, that when I'm driving, I'm going to hold your hand when we're out, you know, and not to say that chivalry is something that should be applauded or like, oh, wow, what a pat on the back. No, like we should be chivalrous as men, you know, holding doors and, you know, putting a woman's jacket on and stuff like that, holding hands and, you know, stuff like that. You know, it's like just little things, you know, whether or not we agree to sort of, you know, be a rock for a person and try to be someone who's dependable. And I know that I have not always been dependable. I've made my share of mistakes in my life, but I'd like to think that deep down I'm a good person that doesn't mean any malice, you know, that tries to do good by others, you know, even though others have done wrong by me. I like to, you know, I haven't become one of those cynical people that is, that's bitter or that is, you know, skeptical and stuff like that. I don't like to think I'm like that at all, you know, but little things help in a relationship, you know, sort of, you know, let's say over Christmas time, you know, when you can just be a little creative in your gifts. I mean, I think that goes a long way in showing someone that, you know, that you pay attention or that you're just not being like sort of the generic gift giver during the holidays. You know, I've always made it a point, you know, to be creative, to think of something detailed, you know, that's sort of like that mindset I have, you know, I like to think that I'm good at that, you know. I think another thing also too is, you know, sort of, you know, I think, and this is one that, you know, you have to sort of, you know, really, you know, examine as a couple. And that's sort of the impact of social media. I think that the way we look at relationships today, you know, unfortunately, you know, social media plays a major role sometimes in relationships, you know, regardless of whether we're talking about millennials or we're talking about people in their 30s or older. And a lot of people meet on social media now, or they know of each other because of social media. So, you know, the one thing about, you know, if you're going to partake in it, you know, sort of, I guess, have some boundaries, sit down and explain or discuss with your partner, you know, what he or she doesn't like or what he or she, you know, what's a deal breaker, what's something that they can live with, you know. And sometimes, you know, social media becomes sort of like this expansive type of, you know, apparatus that, you know, that as people, you know, we become, I wouldn't say dependent on, but we become sort of fixated on. And, you know, I'm one of the people that, listen, I'm old enough, I'm over 40, that, you know, I grew up in a time when I was dating where social media wasn't a factor, where, you know, texting or the inability to communicate effectively as adults wasn't an issue. You know, one of the things that I've argued, and I've talked about this before on previous episodes, is how technology has really harmed today's dating scene. And I've talked at length about it, again, on previous episodes, about how we become so dependent on our smartphones, how we have just sort of lost the art of just making a phone call and talking on the phone. And that's something that is missing. And unfortunately, I don't think there isn't a way to sort of recover that, you know, there isn't a way to sort of recover from that. But, you know, again, when you meet people or you start dating someone and let's say you become somewhat immersed in their social media, you know, the reality is that, you know, there might be things on there that your partner may not like seeing. let's say, even before they came into the picture. And it's really just a point of, you know, you are who you are. What's on your social media, I think, is important. You know, I'll sort of give you an example. I remember, this is a few years ago, I remember, and it's early December, and for the guys listening, the first Tuesday of December is the annual Victoria's Secret fashion show on CBS. Unfortunately, it's only an hour. It has commercials, so it's even shorter than we would like. But the point is that it's sort of like an annual day, just like today, you know, watching The Bachelor is a day that's marked on the calendars for a lot of women, even some guys. You know, I still enjoy watching The Bachelor. And I remember going on my Facebook wall, and I remember posting a status of watching the Victoria's Secret fashion show. I was watching the show with my cousin Daniel, who's also a big fan. And I remember, I think, within 5 to 10 minutes, I think, of posting the status. And listen, I didn't really care how many likes I got on the status. I mean, I'm the type of person when it comes to social media, like, I post a status, I don't really care how many likes it gets. Yeah, it gets a good amount of likes anyway, because that's just sort of the traffic that I generate. But the point is that I don't really care. I just posted it, and I was simply, you know, there. And I remember posting a status like, it's, you know, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Like, you know, it is the holiday season. You know, of course, when you think of the theme, you know, during Christmas, you know, it's the most wonderful time of the year. You know, like that silly song. I forget who sings it. But the point is that I simply just had that as a status, and I checked in watching the Victoria's Secret fashion show. I couldn't tell you, within maybe 5-10 minutes, she called me and was just sort of like livid. Like, why would you put that out there? It's such a degrading show. And mind you, like, this girl I dated a few years back, I mean, she was like sort of like a somewhat of a staunch feminist, I guess, whatever. And I was like, what's the big deal, babe? Like, it's just a Victoria's Secret fashion show. Like, I'm not flying to Paris, or I'm not going to New York, stalking them outside their hotel room and be like, oh my God, you know, pleading, you know, pledging my love and devotion to whoever. I wasn't doing that. But be surprised, you know, I got so much grief for that. And I'm like, all right, okay, fine, I'm sorry. And I remember that she was just like, you know, she sort of, you know, she hid the status off of her timeline. She didn't want to see it and whatever. And, you know, most people thought it was funny. A lot of people liked it. A lot of people, like, I got so many LOLs on it. Not because I was looking to get a rise out of people. I was just like, hey, it's a show that people watch. It's a show that men watch, obviously. And it's a show that a lot of women watch. And sure enough, you know, when I saw that, I was just like, oh, my God, like, she's having a heart attack for this. So, you know, it was one of those things that so frivolous and trivial, but, you know, it could be something on social media that you don't like, you know, and I get that, you know. I've always, you know, also too, you know, I think that sometimes in relationships, you know, when it comes to Instagram, I mean, I don't do Snapchat, so I don't really care about that. But, you know, listen, I understand that on Instagram, you know, it's a very visually based social media app. People post pictures of things that they're doing, or selfies, or where they're at sometimes, they check in somewhere, if they're at a ball game, if they're at a club, they're at a birthday, they're on vacation, they're doing a multitude of different things. And, you know, listen, as a guy or as a girl, you see a guy posting a pic of himself or a girl posting a pic of himself that's on the newsfeed, you just sort of maybe tend to like it, and that's it, and move on. And, you know, listen, does that get you grief? Sometimes, yeah, sure, I get it, and that's fine. You know, I think I'm sort of the type of person that when I look at Instagram, I'm the, you know, my profile is one that, you know, has considerable traffic. I have a good amount of followers. And I don't say it to be smug or arrogant, but what I'm saying it for is that because of the amount of traffic and volume on my newsfeed, I don't sit there, you know, examining, you know, who's liking what. I don't do that. And a lot of people don't do that. You know, for me personally, my Instagram is about, okay, what's on a newsfeed? If there's something interesting or funny or whatever, I'll like it or I won't, or I'll just scroll past it. For me, really, my Instagram, I think my personal appreciation for it is just, you know, what's my traffic doing? You know, what are my pictures doing in terms of likes and awareness? And, you know, for people that know me know that I use my Instagram, for example, for a few things. Number one, my political views. If I find a funny political meme, sure enough, boom, it's on there. And especially after this past presidential election, believe me, I was posting daily with some of my funny memes. during football season, you know, if my Cowboys are doing well, hey, I want to be happy about it. I want to show off my enthusiasm. Same thing with my Yankees, and same thing during hockey season. If the Canadians are playing well, I'm happy about the Canadians or the Devils. During basketball season, same thing with the Cavaliers in Cleveland. You know, if it's during World Cup season, if it's anything sports related, if it's anything personal, like our birthday, if it's a special occasion with my significant other, whatever, you know, that's what I sort of concern myself with. I don't look at the Instagram newsfeed and scroll to the left and see, okay, well, what's the newsfeed? You know, who's following, who liked? I don't do that. I can't say the last time I ever looked at that because it doesn't concern me. But what concerns me is like my Instagram. You know, am I getting likes? Am I getting traffic? That's what I care about, especially because, you know, my philanthropy is very dependent on it. That's what I care about, you know? So, I mean, but I understand some people fixate and have a sort of a preoccupation with, you know, if your significant other is liking the picture or not. I get that, you know, and that's fine. You know, I think if you can sort of iron it out and make sure it doesn't become something that's tumultuous and contentious during a relationship, you can sort of avoid that hostility. Because sometimes it can be very hostile. It can be very petty. It can be very, you know, bothersome about having to get, you know, grief about, I don't know, you clicked on this person's picture. Why? And, you know, really there's no malice behind it. You just saw the newsfeed as you're scrolling down. You're just liking pics. It's sort of, you know, I think it's sort of the mindset of, you know, it's a like for a like. You know, if you want traffic on your pictures, you have to sort of like people's pictures. If you don't, then sometimes you won't get traffic. And at this point, to be honest with you, it's not about losing followers or gaining followers. Like, I have a healthy amount of followers, and I'm glad that I do, because again, it helps my philanthropy. I'm able to promote my charity events. I'm able to promote this podcast. I'm able to promote different projects that I'm doing. So, you know, that's how I approach social media. And it's the same thing with Facebook. You know, if I'm not posting about my charity event, let's say coming up now in April to benefit the March of Dimes, or if I'm not, you know, posting about this podcast to remind people to listen in, if I'm not posting about reminding people to stop by when I'm hosting karaoke in New York City on Thursday nights, you know, okay, you know, those are the things I really fixate myself on. I mean, posting an occasional article about maybe something in pop culture or in the news or politics or sports or about wrestling, about video games, about, I don't know, maybe sometimes the untimely death of a celebrity that I like, you know, who knows? I mean, that's really how I've approached social media, you know, and I think sometimes, you know, when you're dating someone in a relationship, if you're approaching that level, I think it's important to sort of sit down and have some sort of parameters, like, all right, well, what's a do and don't, you know, what do you like, what don't you like, what, you know, what doesn't sit well with you, what does, you know? So, I mean, that may be something you want to sort of go over. You know, one of the other things too, I think, as you're sort of walking that fine line with trying to distinguish, you know, whether or not you are, you know, approaching a real relationship or it's just going to continue to be sort of a hookup, a casual hookup at that. You know, you might want to, you know, think about, you know, the one of the most important pillars in any potential developing relationship is just trust, you know. You know, if you don't have trust, it's hard to have a healthy relationship, you know. You know, when your partner loves you and they truly love you, you know, there's sort of a wealth of honesty between you two, you know, where you two can sort of sit down and talk about anything and sort of disclose things. You know, I like to think that, now listen, I'll be the first one to tell you, have I always been trustworthy? No. And I accept that, and I accept that flaw, and I've done my part to try to work at it, you know, especially for those that really matter. You know, and for those that matter, I make it a point to go above and beyond and make sure that I am trustworthy, that I show that I am trustworthy. And sometimes it's not always easy. You know, sometimes when you when trust is you know, not at its strongest, you know, you have to try to work hard to build it up and not give your partner a reason to doubt you. It's hard. It takes some work. You know, I think when you love someone, you make the effort. You know, and if you don't, then sometimes, you know, you won't bother, you know. At the end of the day, as a guy, you know, if you've had some indiscretions and you've had some missteps and, you know, you've shown that you're not trustworthy, you know, in terms of a partner, you know, he or she, you know, has to make the decision whether or not they're going to trust you again. And, you know, you have to sort of, you know, work at it and make it a point to sort of, you know, reward their faith in you or their impending faith. Because maybe it hasn't been built up yet again, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, listen, as a guy, If you don't love a woman and you don't care about her, you're not gonna make the effort. So if you're caught in an indiscretion, if you're caught not being trustworthy, if the girl doesn't mean a lot to you, then you'll just move on and you'll be like, all right, well, whatever. All right, she doesn't trust me. Oh, well, and you move on. And to be very honest with you, I know plenty of guys that have done that. And I know plenty of guys that'll be like, if she doesn't matter, I'm not going to try. But trust is very important. And really, again, folks, tonight, I hope for those of you listening here tonight, if you missed any part of the broadcast, I urge you to check out www.blogtalkradio.com/datingtodaywithFernandiUribe, all one word there. And you can not only listen to tonight's podcast in its entirety free from any PC, Mac, smartphone, or tablet. You can also, you can listen in for any previous episode here as well on Blog Talk Radio. So, again, I hope that tonight's, talk with you was helpful. I hope it's been illuminating to really help navigate you through these sort of, very tricky waters. Again, if you've been dating someone for a little bit now and you don't know where you stand, I think it's sort of important to sort of, examine these variables and see, okay, well, are we headed towards a road that we're going to be an exclusive monogamous relationship, or are we just going to keep this as a casual hookup and I'm going to call her or him on a weekend or on a random night during the week and be like, hey, what's up? What are you up to today? And do you want to get together for dinner or for drinks? And then it's just back to your house to hook up. I think it's, for both guys and girls listening today, I think it's important to really sit down and examine. Listen, folks, there's no better time than now. It's 2017, it's the new year, it's the 2nd of January. No time like right now to sort of, start establishing these parameters. So, really, I hope that tonight's episode has been helpful. And for those of you, again, that are in that sort of quagmire, I hope that this gives you the clarity that you need to sort of know whether or not this is going to progress with someone, or you just sort of, start looking elsewhere. So, again, I hope you enjoyed the program tonight. And, folks, again, I just want to sort of send you as a reminder that this week's edition of Dating Today with FernandiUribe, once again, is brought to you by the Mason Civic League. Again, you can check out their website, www.masoncivic.org. You can call them at their office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. By calling 201-706-8088. Once again, 201-706-8088. You can also visit their office, 1200 Washington Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. Again, folks, the Mason Civic League is a great local nonprofit organization. They are just an exceptional pillar of the community here in Hudson County in North Jersey. And what they do is specifically in Hoboken is just helping out the community and really, people of all ages and backgrounds to really help get their lives together and to really be a positive force in their lives. And again, sort of coming up here in February, courtesy of the Mason Civic League, they'll be having an event called Love Your Neighborhood. And it'll be right around near Valentine's Day. I'll certainly announce it here on the podcast. And, it's a great, event for the community to sort of get together and know your neighbors and just to sort of, mingle with them and to really just, become more immersed with your neighbors. And it's a great, great event that the Mason Civic League will be hosting later on in February. And also another event of noteworthy significance, courtesy of the Mason Civic League, will be honoring Black History Month at the Mason Civic League office. Again, 1200 Washington Street in Hoboken. There'll be plenty of, there'll be an art exhibit as well. There'll be essays being read. There'll be a lot of different activities throughout the month of February to honor Black History Month. So you definitely want to check out masoncivic.org for more info, again, as Black History Month draws near. So, again, I want to thank the Mason Civic League. Again, check them out and like them on Facebook and, of course, follow them on Instagram. I also want to send a special thank you to Son Cubano for being so supportive here of the podcast and, of course, of my philanthropy as well. You can check out their website, www.soncubanonj.com. You can visit Son Cubano seven days a week, by going to 40-4 Riverwalk Place along the waterfront in West New York, New Jersey. You can call the reservation hotline at 201-399-2020. So whether it's lunch, dinner, or any special occasion, folks, call Son Cubano, and they will work with your budget and the party of your choice. So again, Son Cubano, make sure you like them on Facebook, and always make sure you follow them on Instagram and Twitter. Last but not least, ladies and gentlemen, I also want to give an acknowledgement here to cromcakes.com, a great local media site, www.cromcakes.com. That's K as in nice, R-O-M-C-A-K-E-S.com. I also want to acknowledge Rough Rehab, a great local no-kill Northern New Jersey-based animal rescue shelter located at 360 Route 46 in Mountain Lakes, New Jersey. You can check out their website, www.roughrehab.org. That's R-U-F-F-R-E-H-A-B.org. So it's the new year. If you're looking to get a new pet and start off the year with a wonderful companion, look no further. Rough Rehab will get that special pet for you. So again, I want to thank Rough Rehab, Cromkicks.com, Son Cubano, and of course, our sponsor, the Mason Civic League, for bringing you the best 30-plus minutes of commercial-free dating advice available anywhere in these nights, each and every week here on Blog Talk Radio. Good night. Dallas, Texas, the home of my NFC Eastern Division champions, the reigning and defending NFC Eastern Division champions, my Dallas Cowboys. And as always, stay classy, everyone.
I'm running away from this pain. I'm trying to find a new way. Where the sun's shining down on my face, I'm running away. You're in a toxic relationship. Time to be I'm running.